Amen. What a good day. Several weeks ago, the first Sunday of the year, we started a new series called Devoted. It started out when we were talking about prayer and fasting. Even a scripture comes to mind that there's a woman by the name of Anna the prophetess. She devoted herself. She gave herself, served God with fastings and prayers day and night in the temple. Serving God, not only with prayers, but serving God with your fasting. So interesting that what you do with your body is also used as worship to God. We're talking about living a devoted life. Overall, this great plethora of information that we've got from Scripture about what it looks like. And so for this week and next week for sure, I just want to delve in more beyond just the realm of prayer and or fasting, and just talk about devoted. We mentioned this, I think, back in the fall, used this word in one of our messages. I can't remember exactly what the context we were talking about, but devotion is celebrated in our culture. When I was a kid, there was a high school, probably junior high, there was a dude named, his last name was Carmichael, and this kid was a little bit of a savant, and I was mesmerized by him, because this is back in the day when I was like collecting baseball cards and basketball cards, you know, from the gum wrapper, and all that stuff, like some of you guys did, and this dude could memorize batting averages and hitting percentages and all this stuff, strikeouts from different people all across the major leagues, and I was just intrigued. He could just whip it up, like it's not on a, you know, no computer, you know, no cheat sheet. He's just whipping up all this information that he had studied. He's a little bit, I think he was on the spectrum a little bit, because he was a savant. He could just memorize this stuff, but he was like celebrated. Anybody want to know anything about a basketball player or a football player or a baseball player, he could just recite, and he was kind of like, he was that kind of kid. He's a little off by himself a little bit, but he was also celebrated. Devotion to that just kind of elevated him. When I was coming to church today, we live in Eastlake. I came down Miguel, and Miguel rode the back way a little bit just to take a drive and pray. And I noticed again, like some of y'all live out that way. The kids are on the baseball field right now. They're on the baseball field at 8 o'clock in the morning. It ain't baseball season. I know it's spring out there in Arizona, and the guys are getting ready and all that, and the Padres are hoping and praying and fasting for another great season. The Dodgers are coming and loaded again. God, we need to, Jesus with the Dodgers. Anyway, that's for my son-in-law, who's not here today. He loves the Dodgers. But they're out there. Their families are devoted. I mean, it's freezing. It's freezing. And they're in lawn chairs with blankets around, and their kids are out there warming up, getting ready to play baseball, just devoted. Today, playoff football, NFL. Grown men are tailgating in 20-degree weather, 0-degree weather. And they're grilling stuff, and they're out there freezing, and they're probably, you know, no shirts on. They're painting their face, they're painting their stomachs, And they you've seen them. They wear crazy stuff. I mean, like the Raiders. I know we got some Raiders fan. They wear crazy stuff and devoted. And yet, listen. When it comes to normal Christianity, reading the Bible, praying, fasting, seeking God, serving, giving, tithing, supporting the poor, going the extra mile, showing up for 10 days. I mean, 6 prayer meetings last couple weeks to come and give an hour. And people would say, that's too much. Listen to me. Choose your devotion. Some people say, that's just fanatical. That's just excessive. That's just extreme. Listen to me. That's normal Bible devotion. Amen. I don't know about you, but I think I'm preaching to the right crowd. I think we're getting a whole church group of people that we're thinking counterculture. We're thinking that we want to live our lives noticeably different, and I want to be this kind of person, and I hope you do too. Can I get an amen in the room? Amen. Yeah, I want to be devoted. I want to be devoted more. I want to see more of God in my life personally, in our church, in our city, in our culture. So I know it first starts with me, with me personally. As we talk about being devoted, This means really just one word. We're going to look at one main word, and then we'll tag another one toward the end because it's connected with it. And it's this one word that we find out in the Bible. It's a word called consecration. So you're never going to be a devoted person if you're not a consecrated person. Consecration is this. Consecration is living a life of separation from whatever contaminates you. Consecration is living a life of separation from whatever contaminates you or could potentially contaminate you. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses or removes us from all sin and guilt. When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, this is just what happens to us. And look what it says here in the Amplified. It keeps us cleansed from sin in all forms and manifestations. The blood of Jesus, when we say yes to Jesus, it's got the power to cleanse us. It's got the power to remove sin from us. And it's got the power to remove the guilt, the shame that we had, the condemnation that we've had. And it says it's going to keep us cleansed from sin in every shape. One translation says form or manifestation. Now, here's the thing that we have to understand. You can't take this scripture and suck it out and say, I'm building my life solely, only on this scripture. This is one of hundreds that you build your life on. Because the fact of the matter is that the blood of Jesus doesn't, quote unquote, automatically keep you cleansed. It doesn't automatically keep you free. It doesn't automatically deliver you unless you come to him and say, I have been in some ungodly stuff. I have been in some unsanctified mess. And I'm asking you to clean me from my stuff. And when you do that, the blood of Jesus cleanses you, removes the stain of sin in your life and guilt, and brings you and restores you back into a place of wholeness with him. Can I get an amen in the room? Sin in the Bible is described as leaven. It spreads rapidly. It infects every single thing it touches. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:6, do you not know that a little leaven, come on, say a little leaven, leavens the whole lump. Just a little leaven. Come on, ladies, you know just a little something there while you're kneading bread. It just goes through the whole lump. Just a little. So here's what I've come to the conclusion based on this scripture and many others. Godliness doesn't spread. Godliness grows. Listen to me. Godliness doesn't spread like sin. Godliness grows. It grows over time. Sin moves like a locust, consuming everything in its path. And you've got to be committed that as I seek God, as I draw near to God, and I want his word and his spirit working in me, I want more of God and less of me, and I'm my life and my lifestyle and my thoughts and my ambitions and my desires and my focus and my pursuit, I want God in my life. And as I do that, listen to me, you are committed to living a godly life, and God is committed to helping you in your journey. But can I tell you, this isn't a 1 week or a 10-day pursuit of fasting and prayer. This is a lifestyle for the rest of your life. And listen to me, this isn't a quick fix. This is a slow building muscle, spiritual muscle, building fortitude, building dedication and spiritual discipline in your life that will stay with you for the rest of your life. This isn't a quick injection to lose weight, a quick pill to get you thinking right. This is a lifestyle that is going to help you pursue the plan and the purpose of God for eternity. Can somebody say praise God for that? Yeah, yeah. So come on, while you're right there, what's in your life right now? What's in your life right now that has the potential to negatively grow or multiply? God takes consecration seriously. Moses was dead. Joshua was leading the nation of Israel, coming to the promised land. You can read it in the first couple chapters of Joshua. He's going to be leading them. moving across the Jordan River, going to start taking territory, going to come to the first city they come to, which is going to be Jericho. And it's interesting that God told Joshua to tell the people this. Check on the screen, Joshua 3:5. Sanctify yourself. Come on, say that with me. Sanctify yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Notice, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. I'm not doing this for you. You sanctify yourself. You choose your devotion. Sanctify yourself. Separate yourself. This isn't a one kind of like a little prayer we pray over you and the sign of the cross and you all good. No. Sanctify yourself. Because tomorrow, God says, I'm going to do something amongst you that has never been done before. I'm going to start working in your midst like never before. But before I do, you got to do something. So listen, God's saying, before I help you go into the land, you need to let me in here. Before you go there, I got to come in here. We're not just talking about outward conforming our life to some sanctified life. I don't cut my hair. I don't wear makeup. I wear my dress a certain length. I mean, Kimberly's dad, bless his heart, I mean, grew up in Assemblies of God Church, and they weren't too much like this. But when he was a young guy pastoring a church, he'd mow the yard with a white shirt on and a black tie. Mow the yard. I say, take off your shirt. Let the fat flow. Come on, everybody. Let me see what's going on. It's hot out here. Maybe not that unsanctified. I don't know. So what's he saying? He says, sanctify yourself. This is what you do. So what's he saying? This was just a one-night thing. We would say, just press in. Come on, get some more of God. Get off the TV. Get off the pad. Quit scrolling so much. Come on, get your face in the Word. Less of the world, less of the culture, less of the values, less of the things that are going on in the world. And listen, as you start a new year, again, what are some things in your life that just need to get cleaned up and clean and just like, I'm just done with. I don't need that like I used to. I'm not saying shut off the TV. I'm a guy that, listen to me, if you know me at all, I'm a guy that I'm really black and white, and I don't really do good in the crazy middle. I'm either all in it or I'm not in it. And if you give me just a little bit when I'm not supposed to be in it, I'm probably going to swing over to get all in it. That's my nature. I've got an addictive personality. I really do. I found that out. I don't care if it's food. I don't care if it's pleasure. I don't care if it's me time. If I give myself too much, I'm going to swing one way or the other. So I've got to keep my life on a short leash. That might not be you, but this is me. You better know you. And so I've got to make sure that I'm keeping my, I'm a pastor. That don't matter. I got to make sure my life is being directed toward him and continually staying devoted toward him, because I'll let myself off the hook. And God's asking for more of me, and I believe he's asking for more of you. Again, the promise that God told Joshua was, again, you sanctify yourself, and I'm going to do a wonder among you. I don't know about you, but I want to start seeing some more signs, wonders, and miracles. Come on, everybody. How about you? I want to see God show up. So what would it be that maybe in your and my life that what's hindering that, again, we're not like twisting God's arm, but just hindering that more from us seeing it is me and you just living more and more of a sanctified life. This is what the old time prayers and people from the old from the past, Pentecostalism, and they'd start seeking God and drawing near to God, and people say, you're fanatic and your devotion and you can't keep doing that, and you're extreme and you're excessive, and yet they'd see God work in signs, wonders, and miracles. And come on, we're more interested in what's going on stinking, your TV shows or again, Netflix series. And me too. And so I go, no, I'm more hungry for God than who's going to win the Super Bowl. I mean, I want to watch the Super Bowl, but I'm really more hungry for God. Come on. Amen, everybody. Man. So listen, consecration allows the power of God to show up right there at your address. Consecration, devotion, right here with me. I don't know anybody that's more and more devoted that they see less and less of God. On the contrary, more and more devotion, more and more consecration, more and more sanctification, more and more cleansing, more and more purity, more and more holiness, and I get to see God work more and more and more in my life and my family. So direct correlation. So make sure we're on the same page, is that living consecrated isn't Old Testament law. Living consecrated is New Testament liberty. Amen. Here's what I mean. You're never going to know the real you until you give God everything you are. Amen. And it's not like I have to. No, it was sanctify yourself. I get to. Choose your devotion. Everybody in the room, you are already devoted to something. Amen. You're devoted to negative thinking. Devoted. You're devoted to judgment. You're devoted. You're devoted to gossip. People online, no, just people out there in the, never anybody in the room. Not even online watching us, that's just out in the wide world web. We're devoted. How about we be devoted to this? Let me just say this. Come on, we're just getting started here. Listen, just a life of consecration means, again, you're separated, you're just living a different kind of life. Just quit trying to fit in. Amen. You're in the world, you're not of the world. Amen. We're to be distinct, the influence. That's what God kept coming to the nation of Israel. He said, listen, when you go into the land, listen, you're different. So he would say, don't marry those folks. It wasn't because they had a different skin color, and that's what religion was trying to say. It's because they had a different God. They had a different culture. They had different morals, different values that were ungodly. Don't mess with them. Now, the scripture says real clear, we're in the world, we're not of the world, and we can't come out of the world. The Bible says God placed us in the world to live amongst a crazy world that we're salt and light in. But we are to infect it. It is not to infect us. Amen. So again, we're distinct. Peter says we're a special people. We're an unusual kind of people. We've got different beliefs, different values, different lifestyle. We dress the same. We get haircut the same place. We shop at the same stores. But something's different on the inside of us. This is what he's talking about. Living sanctified, living devoted, living consecrated on the inside. And so listen, you decide to live a Christ-centered life. You make a decision. I'm deciding to live a Christ-centered life in 2025. No turning back. No turning back. Again, God doesn't do this for you. He's going to empower your decision, but this is something that you do. I'm going to give God more of me this year. I'm going to give him more. It's interesting. The root word, if you don't know, the root word for decide in the Latin means this, to cut or cutting off of all other options. Negatively, we get the word like homicide. A man, homo, man, has been cut off. Homicide. And so the word decide means somebody has cut off and said, there are no more options. I'm making a decision. This is what I'm going to do. Now, if I fall and if I trip and if I mess up, God's grace and his blood and his forgiveness comes to bear. Come on, everybody. But as far as my decision, I'm cutting off from now on all other options. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to honor God in my body, in my mind, in my emotions, in my money, with my marriage, with my kids, with my job. I'm going to do this. This year, I'm pressing in. I'm allowing other things to leave me. I'm pressing in. I'm going to press in with my health. I'm going to press in with my wealth. I'm going to press in with my relationships. I'm going to press in with my word. I'm going to press in with my family. Come on, everybody. I'm going to press in the community. I'm going to press in. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Notice the difference. Righteousness, lawlessness. What communion or gathering, connection has light with darkness? What accord, what connection has Christ with Belial, the devil? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Since this is true, verse 17, therefore, come out. Sanctify yourself. Come out. Amen. Come out. Come out from among, no, notice, come out from among them. Come out from among them. They are in that. They want that, or they don't know what they need to know yet, but you can't stay there. So come out from among them and be separate. This is not talking about not praying, not doing lunch. This is not talking about not having unsaved friends. We are in the world to make a difference, but it's saying if all your friends are unsaved and you've got no Christian friends, I guarantee you're going to start thinking, acting, talking, living just like them. For most young people and even others, this might have something to do with your family, your extended family. Sometimes you just got to put some boundaries. Amen. For my children around that, I've got to put some boundaries. Not keeping them totally from, but I've got to protect my family too. Amen. And he says, do not touch what is unclean. Notice, there must be something unclean. Don't touch what is unclean. Well, what's unclean? He says, and I will receive you. So there's a difference between them and us. And I've got to separate myself. And when I'm separated, I can't go back and touch that. Because that's unclean. If I touch what's unclean, I could say, God won't receive me until I get my heart right about what I've touched. Come out. Be separate. Don't touch what's unclean, and I'll receive you. And I will be a father to you. And you're going to be my son, and you're going to be my daughter, says the Lord God Almighty. This is a devoted life. This is a devoted life. This is a devoted life. I've seen and I've known people that have paid personal trainers thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And they've worked it on, they've sculpted their body. And the personal trainer gives them the plan and is in with them in the gym. And they're getting buff and they're getting fit and they're getting toned. And the girls are going to go do the runway kind of thing. And they're losing all their weight. And their coach is telling them what to do and how to exercise and do all the stuff with the different things that they need. And all that. And they got them an eating plan. They do this, macros and count this and carbs and all that. And a little bit of protein. And they got it all down to a science. And they're weighing it all out and they're figuring it all out. But listen to me, at the end of the day, if you've got all that information and you never do it, what's the point? What's the point? This is our devotion. This is our pursuit. This is our consecration. Have you ever, I haven't read one of these recently, but ever seen that somebody broke into a church, Catholic church, or Protestant church, or maybe even a synagogue, and somebody just desecrated it, spray painted it, started breaking stuff, destroying stuff, burning stuff, again, spray painted everywhere. This is exactly what the enemy wants to do inside your temple. He wants to break into your temple, and he wants to spray paint things, he wants to destroy things, he wants to burn things. This is what's happened since COVID with so many of our young people, where they said that their faith, they're deconstructed. And it happened through all kind of crazy stuff, and things were going on in our culture recently, and they're just their faith got deconstructed. They're anti-government, anti-authority, anti-family, anti-marriage, anti-police, anti-everybody. and now I'm my own God. And so what's happened is that the enemy has sowed lies and belief systems into their thoughts, and it has become them. Their life then becomes what has desecrated them. Listen to me. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the place that God resides, and he wants you and I to live a holy kind of life. Now, here's the good news. If you're hearing me this morning, you're thinking, dear God, Pastor Gary's talking about lifting weights and all kind of stuff. Is this a bunch of stuff I got to do? I got to kind of do. I don't know if I can do this. I've just been saved. Like I got saved last night. I rolled in here. I had a little too many beers last night. I got a little of a buzz. I mean, here I am today. Come on. Welcome to church. Come on. Clap your hands, all you people. We're glad you're in church this morning. Yeah. Or maybe I'm talking to the people that are home this morning. They can roll out of bed. But listen, here's the good news. You don't have to do it by yourself. 10 times in the Old Testament, there's a phrase, and God's called by a name called Jehovah Makadesh. Makadesh. Let me give you the scripture. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 8. You shall keep my statutes and perform them. Notice, keep them and perform them. I am the Lord. Come on, read this with me. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Come on, say it with me. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Look on the screen. The word Jehovah Mekadesh, that's what the sanctifying part means, comes from the Hebrew word which means to sanctify. It means to make holy. It means to set apart. 10 times this phrase is used in the Old Testament. It is simply saying that when I am the God in your life, that I'm going to perform this because I'm holy, I'm sanctified. As you come to me and let me father you, and you as a son and you as a daughter, you are going to be part of my sanctifying work in your own life. I'm committed to helping you live a pure and a holy and a righteous life. You're not going to be on your own. It's not self-effort and self, you know, self-worth and all. Listen, again, what I told you about my own nature. Listen, my journey, let me tell you, I've been on a no sugar since Thanksgiving. Me. Pie, Kimberly's pie on Thanksgiving was the last I had. And I said, I'm going to challenge myself. And how many know what happens after Thanksgiving? Christmas. Christmas cookies. Christmas cakes. Christmas stuff. We got a gal in the church, a woman in the church, Deb Batchman, and for years she would make us like a plethora of cooked Christmas cookies. And I told Kimberly, tell Deb, no cookies this year. Deb, I love you. You got the best cookies in the whole wide world, just not this year. Because I know if they're in the house, they call my name. Come on, can I get an amen in there? Any honest people? Okay, all right. I'm talking to the right crowd. And so I mentioned to you, Kimberly's mom, you know, had an awful fall. And people yesterday in the church and a couple of days ago came over and just blessed us. You know, last night, Elisa came over and brought Mexican food. Come on, somebody. Mexican food up in the house. Raul and Patty came over and brought whatever that Mexican soup. What is it called? Abondegas. Abondegas. Oh, my Lord. Help me, Jesus. You eat one of those meatballs and you go, Abondegas. It goes in and boom. It's like an Abondegas. That's what happened. I think that's what they call it, like that, right? It's amazing. And then just helped some stuff for Kimberly's mom. And then Diana came over. Where's Diana back over there? Diana brought over hot rocks. She brought, she's like a masseuse, and she helps elderly people and other people. And she brought over that you plug this thing in, and it heats up rocks, and you put rocks on your back. And then Kimberly's mom, she loved it. But then you know who really loved it? Brittany and her daughters. They were like, oh, get the hot rocks. They came over 2 nights in a row. It's like... And then Raquel Chacon, I don't know if Raquel's here or not, Raquel. And then Raquel brought over some kind of sweet non-sugar-free chocolate something. Y'all just blessing, you know. That was really for Pastor Kimberly. But she came in here. This whole point of the story, I almost lost it, but I grabbed it. How many of y'all told a story and you went, now where was I going? Okay, all right. And I was going like, there it was. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Come back. Just had a setup, kind of. Thank you for y'all. You're just loving on us and loving on Kimberly's mom. But you know, I hadn't had chocolate. I hadn't had chocolate for 7 weeks, 8 weeks. Hadn't had sweets. And Kimberly said, "Oh, look, Raquel!" And she had this whole bag. And she comes by, and I'm not going. I'm a chair, and I'm going. Like literally, Listen, there has not been a desire in me. God's ready to kind of help me. I asked him to help me, especially during fasting and prayer. And so I was like, I'm going like, oh, what's that? And all of a sudden, a desire started. Desire started. So now when I bind the devil in Jesus' name, I'm not eating sweet. But then she walked by and she said, look, and she showed it to me. And I'm like, I not only smelled it, now I saw it. Then I had to put my hands in my pocket. Come on, everybody, because I'm getting ready to grab it. God's going to ask you this year to put your hands in your pocket, so to speak. Listen to me. Get your eyes off that. Get your ears from listening to that. Put your eyes in your pocket. Put your ears in your pocket. Put your hands in your pocket. Get your eyes on Jesus, and he's going to help you. I'm glad someone's getting the Lord. Come on back in the back. Praise the Lord. Come on, look at Leviticus 20, verse 8 again. Look at this. Look at this one part. Thanks, guys back in the back. Come on, read those first few words with me, will you? And you shall keep my statutes. Come on, say that with me again. And you shall keep my statutes. One more time. And you shall keep my statutes. Look on the screen. You can't live a devoted, sanctified, separated life without God's word living in you. It's your statutes. It's your word. It's your law. It's your judgments. So Jesus says something really interesting. Remember what he said? I want to say John 15. Don't quote me on it. But he told his listeners, he said, you're clean. You're already clean because the word I've spoken to you. The power of the word of God will keep you clean. Amen. Keep you clean. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. There it is again. Sanctify you how? Completely. And may your, come on, may your whole spirit, come on, read it with me, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body. My spirit sanctified, devoted, holy, clean, right, uncontaminated. My mind, clean, holy, transforming, not perfect, but also my body, not involved with things because I'm coming out from among them and I'm separating myself and I'm choosing what to touch and what not to touch. Another biblical, again, I mentioned to you earlier, aspect connected with consecration is just this word we'll see over and over in the Old Testament, and it's the word called cleansing. Cleansing. In the Old Testament, you'll see things like this. That's clean, that's unclean. There were things for ceremonial worship in the context of that inside the temple. Again, items for worship were clean and or unclean. Animals based on hooves, based on what they ate, were clean and or unclean. To be used in the offering or not to be used in the offering. Paul picks up on this a little bit in 2 Timothy, and he says this. He says, for you to be a vessel of honor, fit ready for the master's use, you choose what kind of vessel you're going to be. You choose what kind of devoted life you're going to have. You're going to be devoted like the world is, or you're going to be devoted like what I want you to be devoted in? Are you going to be sanctified, separated, different, distinct, unusual, a little peculiar? There ought to be some people that kind of freak out when you leave your house in the morning and go to church on a Sunday in California. Or, my God, coming to church 6 times in a row for prayer and fasting? What kind of crazy person are you? Well, probably the same kind of crazy person that would stand in line for 3 hours and get a deal. Yeah. Amen. At Black Friday at Best Buy. Yeah. To get, back in the day, the 36-inch flat screen. Now that's a monitor. Can I get an amen? Come on, everybody. In Jesus' day, people were clean or unclean based on the disease or the impurities they had. Lepers had to cry out, identify themselves as being unclean because of their leprosy. Ezra 6:20. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. Notice this is what the priests and the Levites did. They purified themselves of all them that were ritually clean. And they slaughtered the Passover lambs and all the descendants of the captivity for the brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Again, to be unclean was to be defiled. Consecrated, separated unto someone, consecrated to God. And now I've got to make sure I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm not defiled. I'm convinced people all the time are trying to come to God and they're all jacked up and God's trying to get their heart right so that he can actually father them and they can receive the adoption of sons in a new way. Again, not works motivated. Simply, I've got a part to play in this. God is not going to clean me up. He is definitely going to help me, but I've got to instigate it saying, I want to be clean. I want to live clean. Think words like polluted, stained, tarnished, foul, or spoiled. I do not think if I asked anybody at the end of the, out in the patio, drinking coffee, eating a donut, whatever we're going to do out there, is, hey man, how would you like your 2025 to be spoiled, tarnished, desecrated, and just defiled? Yeah, man, that's what I'm all about this year. No. And in the Old Testament, what you will find is that if anybody was unclean or defiled or desecrated by any kind of, again, it's a long list in the book of Leviticus and too long and too boring to talk to you about right now just because it's lengthy. It's just, it wasn't a one size fits all. It was a 1 day thing, a 3 day thing, a 1 week thing, a 40 day thing, or a 50 day thing to get them physically clean from whatever impurity they had. So what am I saying? God knows what it will take to get your mind renewed and your heart back on track. God has always provided remedies and help and purification and restore cleanness and wholeness to his people. This is what the blood of Jesus does. We know that. And this is what it will continue to do if we allow it. So here's where the rubber meets the road, though. Is that Jesus says something crazy in Matthew 3, verse 8. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Look at this. The repentance you say, Gary, the repentance you say, and the sanctified life you say you want me to cooperate with you and you need in your life, and you want more of me in your life. Now, you, Gary, you bear fruit of that decision in your life. You bear fruit worthy of that repentance. Paul picks the same thing up in Acts 26, and he says that you should repent. He tells, as he's preaching to King Agrippa and all those kings there, that you should repent and turn to God. So I repent, change my mind, but now I'm changing my direction. I turn to God and notice and do works and live lives consistent with and worthy of your repentance. Listen to me, it's not a prayer. We say a prayer at the end of the service and we need that. Lord, I want you in my life. I changed my mind. I changed my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. We'll pray in a moment. And that's important. That's necessary to everybody in the room, everybody online, whoever's listening. But it's not a one and done deal. I can't pray it and go back to my unclean, defiled life. It's God, I need you. Now, God says, I'm going to help you do works worthy of repentance. I'm going to help you live a changed life. You've got to allow me in your life. You've got to allow me in that bitterness and that negativity and that all that stuff's going on in your life. You've got to allow me in that sin and that crazy stuff happening in your life. You've got to allow me in the middle of your addiction. You've got to allow me in the middle of all that sorrow and pain that's going on in your life and festering. So every relationship you enter, that's the first thing that comes. You got to let me in there. The Apostle Paul said this, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. So the writer of Hebrews says, what's our response? We draw near with a full heart, assurance of faith. We can live free from the entanglements of an unclean life. our hearts and our bodies, the writer of Hebrews says, can be clean. Not just my heart. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. But man, your body, you're a wreck. You're a mess. You're in every bed. You're in every porn site. You're in every bar. You're in every little BevMo. You're in every little thing there at work, and you're picking up every little pill, every little joint, every little sniff, every little heroin. You're picking it up. You got every attitude. You got every attitude. You come to church on Sunday, but are you really different? Come on, you got some different going. I want to be more and more devoted. Psalm 51, Passion Translation. Look on the screen. Say it with me. Would you do it? Create in me a clean heart. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires. Ready. Oh, we got a different translation up there. All right. Create in me a clean heart. Fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires. Ready to please you, it says. I love this translation because it's not just talking about my heart. I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and so I'm needing like a new heart. No, I got a new heart, but I got some crazy thoughts. I've got some crazy desires. I've been touching some unclean things, and I don't want that to be the rest of my life for 2025 and going in the rest of my married life, my singleness. I want you to fill me with pure thoughts and holy desires, ready to please you. Listen to me. God's the cleanser. You're the comer. You can't clean yourself up. You can't. So he says, you come to me. And what's so beautiful is that we see over in the scriptures this picture so beautifully. Lepers, hurting people, diseased people. Jesus touched unclean people and made them clean. His godliness, his purity, his holiness is greater than any iniquity or any sin or anything that you're involved with right now. Listen to me. I'm telling you, 2025, you can live a devoted life. Can I get an amen in the room? Come on, stand up, everybody. Stand up. What do we do? How does this begin? If you're away from God or been living a defiled life, how does this happen? Look on the screen. It starts with confession of sin. Confession of sin. I've been unclean. I've touched what's unclean. I'm in the middle of some unclean stuff right now. You got to verbalize it. There is no healing. There is no sanctification. There is no cleansing unless there's a confession. Secondly, a repentance from sin. Repentance means I'm changing my mind and I'm going to change my direction. I'm turning from it. I'm not going to eat that any longer, naturally. I'm not thinking those thoughts any longer. If they come to me, I know what I got to do. I got to take them captive. I've been addicted to porn. And it didn't start with just the porn. It starts with me looking at babes. So when I see the babe that I'm attracted to, she's beautiful, I'm going to say, ain't no babe. I'm going to put my eyes in my pocket. Amen. Everybody's got to do it if you're going to live devoted. I see people with a nice car and I'm driving a junker. And I want their car. I want what they have. How come they got it? They ain't no better than me. Put your desires in your pocket. Repent for my sin. Third aspect is forgiveness of sin. I repent for my sin, and you ask God forgiveness. Forgiveness. I'm asking you to forgive me. I confess what I've done. I'm turning from what I've done right now. And I'm asking you to forgive me for what I've done. Well, God knows my heart. He knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart, but there is no forgiveness unless there's someone asking. And lastly, you walk free from your sin. You walk free from your sin. This is where you do works worthy of repentance. I am going to walk free from this. I see myself walking free. Walking free. We said this a couple weeks ago. I think we said it during prayer for sure. We've been praying a scripture out of Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, that break up your fallow ground. Come on, it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Come on, remember that? Sow to yourself righteousness, reap in mercy. Come on, break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Well, Jeremiah picks this up in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, and he says, break up your fallow ground. And he says this, don't sow among thorns. Break up your fallow ground. When your heart is broken up during prayer and fasting, you better be careful what you sow in your heart, because it will come up. It will grow. So the word of the Lord, again, one more time. Don't go back to your old you. Become a new kind of you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can you get an amen, everybody? Amen. And just the reality is, I put one more thing on the screen before we pray. You will enter spiritual decline when sin seems normal and righteousness seems strange. You will enter spiritual decline when sin seems normal. You get used to it. This is the deceptive tactics of the devil. And when righteousness and devotion and scripture and family and for godly friends and prayer, when it just seems so unusual and strange that there be that level of pursuit, just means I'm a devoted person. I want more God. Want more God. And this is the kind of person I believe we're talking to a spectrum, and we're going to see God move in our lives. Amen, everybody? Come on, bow your head all over the room. You need Jesus today. You're away from him. Are you hungry for him? Is there anything in your heart you got to change this morning? Come on, came in hot and heavy this morning, but while you're right there, anything defiled in your life, anything unclean in your life, have you touched some things? Did you go, Father, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Empower me. Help me right now. I'm turning my mind. I'm changing my mind. I'm turning right now. Right now in my chair, I'm making a decision. I'm deciding right now. I'm deciding to cut off. I'm deciding to put that aside. I'm making a decision right now. I'm going to be who you want me to be. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm going to grow this year spiritually. I set my mind up right now to live a devoted life. You washed me, you cleansed me, you sanctified me, you justified me. This is the kind of person I will be in 2025 and beyond. I say no to sin. I say yes to righteousness. Godliness grows. It doesn't spread. I'm committed to living godly day in, day out, week in and week out. Keep creating in me a clean heart. Keep filling me, us, with pure thoughts and holy desires, ready to please you. Come on, all over the room. If you don't know Jesus, or you just say, I need to make a change, that's my prayer this morning. Come on, when I count to three, lift up your hand. We're going to pray. Come on, one, two, three, all over the room, making a change. Come on, making a change, making a change. Awesome. One, two, three, four. Thank you. Five, six. Awesome. Amazing. Amazing. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you for your clarity. Come on, thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life right now. Come on, one more time. I want to look. You guys got your hands raised. Come on, back in the back. Come on. Seven, eight. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, let's clap our hands for all these people this morning. Yeah. Come on, everybody, bow your head. Close your eyes one last time. Thank you for listening so intently this morning. Come on, you that specifically raised your hand, we're going to say a prayer. Pray it out loud. Don't think it. Don't mutter it. We're going to pray with you. You won't be alone. But you mix faith, that means you believe in your heart, not your beating heart, the real you, the center of your being, that what I'm praying, God's hearing me right now. God's hearing me. So come on, say it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I'm asking you to come into my life in a new way today. I surrender all. I change my mind. I'm changing my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, we clap for you this morning. Come on, we can shout. Yeah, we do. Come on, everybody. Yeah. Come on, somebody say, praise the Lord. Listen to me. As sure as we are here, the angels in heaven are rejoicing.